I chose this the topic or the title for my sermon today, Adopted in Christ, regarding the subject of adoption. And I did so because with the events that have gone on in our family personally over the last week, as well as the past several months, because we've had two waves of adoption in our family in the last several months, it gave me cause to consider that the Bible refers to the fact that we are adopted in Christ. And I wanted us to give some consideration to the cost of our adoption and what we have been given in our adoption. So if you would listen with me as I read our text this morning, which is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ, Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have afforded us this opportunity to gather together as your people today and to worship and to praise and proclaim your name. Oh, Father, I ask that you would take this very incapable servant and your holy word and use it in our lives, that we may grow thereby, and that you would fill us with your spirit, and that we might be enlivened and strengthened as we go forth in the coming week and the days to come. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in the verses that we just read in the text, to start out, there are four key words that I would like to just make mention of, because I think in the context of the verse, it helps us with our understanding. The first is the word world. In the context of our verse here, it means before creation. So when you hear the word world, that means before the earth was ever here. The other key word that I would like you to just bear in mind is in regards to the subject of adoption, is the word predestined. The definition of predestined, especially divine predestination, means that God has a purpose that was determined long before it came to pass. So in God's design, he predestined things that would come to pass even before they ever happened. The other key word, it says he had predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. The word of adoption, the word adoption. Adoption is the act of leaving one's natural family and entering into the privileges and responsibilities of another. It's generally thought of in our society, at least human adoption, as a legal, a contractual, or a covenantal action or event that takes place. In the spiritual sense, we, in our natural bodies, were not part of the family of God. We were only members of God's, of the first family and the first father, our first father, Adam. And then the fourth word I'd like you to keep in mind is the word will. According to the purpose of his will means choice, discretion, pleasure. The will of God is not simply a passive plan, but his blueprint for all of creation. So God's will is active and is purposeful. So by way of introduction today, I want to just give you a couple things. I asked the session a month ago or several weeks ago, if they would allow me to do the sermon today in light of the adoptions that have taken place. And so they graciously consented to do so. but also because those same members of our family that are being adopted, several of them are being baptized today. So we're going to witness their Christian baptism today. And I ask if I could do this because the adoption of Ruthie, Molly, and Gracie, and several months ago, Sarah, Daniel, and Peter, is very special and important to me. And also because when we talk about adoption into the family of God, I think the understanding of human adoption gives us a better picture of what it really means to be adopted as the children of God. Many times God gives us pictures or illustrations of the Bible because we're finite. God is infinite, but He gives us pictures that help us understand things. And I think understanding one's human adoption helps in our understanding of our heavenly adoption for those that are in Christ. Also, for the believer, for those that are called, the significance of adoption into the family of God represents great hope and confidence that we can have in Christ. Just like in a human adoption, when a small child is adopted, he now, the one that had no one, now has someone who has promised to protect and care and take for that child. It gives that natural child great security and hope. And for the heavenly child of God, we have been given great security and hope because our adoption into Christ Jesus. Understanding human adoption also helps us as members of the family of God to better understand the grace of God interacting in our lives. Now, I just want to say this at this point. Not everybody here in this room that is a child was adopted. But whether or not you were born naturally into a family or adopted into a human family, understanding human adoption and then what God gave us through His heavenly adoption is something that I hope will benefit you. Now, in the Bible, I picked up, I'm sure there are more, but there's two cases or two examples of adoption in the Bible that I would like to use. One is in Exodus chapter 2, verse 10. And that is where Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. And I won't go there, but if you look in the text, it says that when Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, he received all the rights and all the privileges and duties of a biological son. You remember, Moses was trained to be a prince. And in the case of Moses, he rejected that and chose the God of his fathers. But that's one example we have. The other is in the book of Esther, chapter 2, verse 7, where Esther was adopted by her uncle Mordecai because her parents had died. It says in the text, I'll read that verse, it says, he was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So those are two cases and examples in the Bible we have of a human adoption. Now, in every adoption, there are two parties. There is the adopted or the adoptee, and then you have the adoptor. One is passive, the other is active. And so by way of my illustration that I'm going to use today, I'm going to use the case of a young baby. You know, a young baby, maybe just a few days or a few months old, that baby, if it has no mother or father, is really in a very, very helpless condition or state. The thing that's also in that illustration is that baby has no knowledge of their condition. It's not like they can do anything to change that. A small baby is not given an instruction manual that says this is how you should live. They're not given a manual that has a selection guide of parents. Hey, here are your options for parents. They have no idea of what they need. They have no understanding of love. A baby doesn't know how to love. That baby, in my illustration, is really helpless and hopeless. Without someone to provide for them and care for them, they would surely die. I like history. So I was reading about during World War II, I think it was Hitler, when he was trying to create a master race, he created these breeding houses. And they just had thousands of children. And, the Germans did some experimentations with children and adults. It was very cruel. But one of the things they did was they took several children, or they took groups of children, and all they did was do what was necessary, change their diaper or feed them. But they never held them. They never gave them love. And the result of most of those children was they died. So a little baby without love and nurturing will die. And the other thing about a small baby is that they're very selfish in that they only think of themselves, you know. They're hungry, they want fed, and their diaper's dirty, and they want it changed, right? They're not thinking about anything else at that time. But when I think about the condition of the adoptee, that little helpless baby or child who can do nothing for themselves, in regards to our heavenly adoption, isn't that really our condition as sinners? We are helpless and hopeless. We don't know what we need. We are without love. In fact, our sin is a stench in the nostrils of God. Our sin smells worse to God, children, than the worst dirty diaper you can think of. And you know, I use that, the example of the child there, but I know this, as we get older without Christ, our stench only gets worse. We only become more wicked and more selfish. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Isaiah 64:6 says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and all our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." And then in Romans 3, verse 10, it says, as it is written, "None is righteous, no, not one." So you see the condition of the adoptee, or the one that is passive, is very dreadful, very serious. But then we have the other party in an adoption. We have the adoptor. And so now I'm going to talk for a few moments about the adoptor's position. This is the one that is active in the subject of adoption, a human adoption. Adopt is a verb, and the definition is given as one who will take and rear the child of other parents as one's own child, especially by a legal act or contract. In the Old Testament, while we talk about adoption, or we see examples of adoption, when a male servant or child was adopted or came into one's household, they were marked by the sign of circumcision, which the New Testament version of that is baptism, which we will see today. But when we talk about adoption and the position of the adoptor, that is the position that is the active, that is the position of the one who is sovereign in the adoption. Because you see, in a human adoption, a baby doesn't go and select a parent. But parents, by an act of their sovereign will, choose their child. How would a young baby or child ever know how to do that? It's impossible. That adoptor or that sovereign, that parent, they purpose in their heart, in their mind, to be the provider for that child, to be the sustainer, to be the giver of life, even giving their own life if they needed to. And that's not just true for those that are adopted. Children, your parents would give their lives for you if they had to. And also, the adoptor is the one who gives that child all the rights and privileges as an heir. That child is given the name of those parents and given all those things that any child would receive. So here we have the adopter as the sovereign. They take this poor little helpless child, they bring them into their home, and they make them the benefactors of everything that the family has to offer. What a wonderful blessing, Ruthie, Molly, Gracie. You have been given a wonderful gift from your mother and father. And Sarah, Daniel, and Peter, you as well. And I want to tell you this, that God, and the reason why I went over those key words this morning, God ordained your creation and your adoption before the foundation of the world. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Behold, I formed you in the womb. I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Now, I don't know that God has appointed you as a prophet to the nations, but He knew you in the womb. There are no accidental births with God. Even in our world, we would rationalize at times if we see young children that are terribly disfigured or they have physical problems that are born, that is not an accident. God has a purpose in all that happens. So, as we talk today about the act of the adoptor, the one who is taking this child and loving them, and when we consider that, and we think what great love this mother and this father would have for their child, how much more incomprehensible is it when we consider our horrible and helpless estate that we're in as sinners, and that God would send His own Son and would choose us as a people for Himself before the foundation of the world. Those of you in the room today that are part of the family of God, that are children of God because of Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a family. We're part of an eternal family that can never be broken. In the case of our in spiritual adoption, as children in the family of God, God is the sovereign. He is the adoptor. In verse 3 of our text this morning, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." The sovereign of all the universe that has made everything that exists and that ever will be, has given you all that a legal son or daughter in a human adoption would receive, but yet He's given us much more, because our Heavenly Father is perfect in all His acts and deeds. Even a good earthly parent, we have good intents, but we don't always do the right thing. Just ask my children. And hopefully, by the grace of God, as I got to the last ones, God was more gracious to me than to my first. But the sovereign God, He gives us exactly what we need when He brings us into His family. His instruction is perfect. His love is without measure. Because, as I said earlier, a small child doesn't know how to love. But when those parents exercise their sovereign will towards that child, that parent, because of the love of his parents, that child does what? That child learns how to love in return. We didn't know how to love God. We hated him. But because of his love for us, we return our love to him. Our Father in heaven will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. His ways are just. Today, we're going to have the marking of baptism, where we're going to see three little girls that have been adopted, hopefully four, into an earthly family, marked, and we'll be reminded of God's eternal covenant to his adopted children, his heavenly adopted children. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, it says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring, and after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Those that are adopted into Christ's family, we have several verses that are promises that should give us hope and confidence. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 7, just paraphrasing, "And I will take you for my people, and I will be your God." In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." And in Jeremiah 11, 14, "And you will be my people, and I will be your God." So you see how the sovereign God takes us in and makes us his children. I was reading as I prepared for the sermon today, an article that was written by a Dr. Jan Verbergen, who's a professor of Old Testament language and literature at Western Seminary. And there are five points that he makes note of that I would ask you to consider today as we consider our heavenly adoption in Jesus Christ. The first is, God adopts those whom he loves and has predestined to be his children. Remember in our text this morning, in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. Two, it is through Jesus Christ that God's children are adopted. From Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Number three, God adopts his children so that he might display the glory of his grace. In Ephesians again, "In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace." Number four, God has secured this adoption by his Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And then fifth, God will complete this adoption when he renews our bodies, thus making us eager for Christ's return. And I know that many of us in this room are eager for Christ's return, even if he would come today. And in Romans 8:23, we read, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." In closing, I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story about adoption. There was a Christian couple who were unable to have children. And they had prayed to the Lord and asked that they would give him a child. And one day they received a call. They received a call that there was a five-year-old baby boy that was available for adoption. The couple discussed this, And they determined that they would adopt this child. And they would make him their own. They would give him love. They would give him protection. They would give him security. They would instruct him in the things of God. And they would afford him all the privileges of being their son. That five-day-old baby stands before you today, 59 years later. Carl and Louise Rentschler made me their son those many years ago. And if the love of God and the love of human parents is so great for their son, and the love of your parents, Ruthie, Molly, Gracie, and Mariah, and Sarah, Daniel, Peter, and Catherine is so great, how much infinitely greater is the love of God for his own children that he would give his own son that we may be adopted as the sons of God. If you know not the love of God as your Lord and Savior today and the adoption as a son of the Heavenly Father, I plead with you, call out to him this day. Father in heaven, we are not worthy to be your sons and daughters, but Father, you loved us and your mercy you gave your son for us. Oh, Father, make us comprehend the full breadth of your adoption into your family. Father, may we return unto you that love which you have shown to us. May we honor you with our thoughts and our words and our deeds. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.